You are correct. Okay, let's be real. We are in the Perek of Aleph. Let's just review the middle of the new section. Let's just review very quickly. Pasuk starting from the beginning of the Perek. We really have the Pasuk of Vav. Okay, we're up to Pasuk of Vav. Perek of Aleph, Pasuk of Vav. But let's just review the few Pesukim leading into this Pasuk. Vahid of Hashem Elei Lemar. Over here, Hashem is telling Yechezkel to do a mashal, to do something to demonstrate as a visual presentation, a visual demonstration of what is going to happen to the Jewish people in the future. He's going to here make a make-believe city, and from that city is going to come out a path, and from that path it's going to branch into two paths. One path represents Yerushalayim, and the other path represents Rabbas B'nai Amon. And he's going to make believe that Nebuchadnezzar is walking down the path coming out of his city, comes to the crossroads, and he now does magic. We'll see what the magic is. He throws his sword into the sky, and he sees where it lands. Or he shoots arrows, in different arrows forward, and he sees where it lands. Or he does other things. He has a liver from an animal. We'll see all these things to do to make some type of sign, divine sign, to determine which city he should conquer, Yerushalayim or Rabbas B'nai Amos. So Hashem says to Yechezkel, I want you to go and impress upon the Jewish people this is what's going to happen, and make for them, put on a performance, put on a play, and get for yourself all the props you need in order to make this demonstration. And what are they? V'atav and Adam, Pasuk Chavdalit, Simlcha Shnayim Drachna. And this Pasuk, it's interesting, it says the same thing three times. Hashem repeats himself three times. Sim l'cha shnayim drachim. I want you to set for yourself a branch in the road, a crossroads, a fork in the road, which from that fork comes out two roads. Lavoi cherev melech bavel. On this road, on this branch, the sword of melech bavel will go forth. Me eretz echad yetzu shnim. Now this branch will come forth from a single path, and then Hashem again repeats, the Yod Borei, select a location, Biroish Derech Ir Borei, and this location from where this fork will go forth shall be at the beginning of the Derech Ir. So a lot going on, a lot of words, a lot of repetition. It says the word Borei appears twice, which means we learn to select. And also is the same thing where it says sim l'cha shnayim. Sim, pretty much, in this pasuk has the same exact meaning as the word borei. So this expression is repeated three times. Create a fork in the road. That's sim l'cha, and from that will shnayim drachim. And then at the end of the pasuk it says v'yod borei, and make for yourself, select this area to make this fork, Berosh, Derechir, Borei, and this place shall be selected in the beginning of the Derech, of the road that leads forth from the city. The city over here refers to Bavel. Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar, that's the city where it all starts from. A little road goes forth, and from there it's going to branch out into two different cities. Pasuk Chafhei, Derech, Tosim, Lavo, Cherech, create for yourself two roads. One road you shall set, Lavoi Cherev, where the sword will go, Ace Rabbas B'nai Amon. And the second Derech, Yes Yehuda, V'Yushalayim, Bitsura. And the second road will go forth to Yehuda, which is B'Yushalayim. Yehuda is residing in the city of Yerushalayim, Bitsura. And Yehuda, Yerushalayim, is a fortified city. It is a city with a wall and is protected, which leads people to have confidence that they are not going to be harmed, and it leads them to believe that it's ridiculous for Nebuchadnezzar to think, when he has an option of going to Rabbas B'nai Amon, which is not fortified to the same degree, why would he want to go and fight against Yerushalayim? Okay, so that's what we learned yesterday with Mefarshim. They basically also the same exact thing. Now we come to Pasuk Chavav. This is where we're up to. Ki Amad Melch Bavel Al Eim Hadem, because the king of Bavel is standing. Amad, he stands Al Eim Hader, he stands at the crossroads. Birosh Shnei Hadrochim, he's going to stand at the edge, at this juncture, where these two roads branch out. And he's going now to have a dilemma. Should he go to the right? Should he go to the left? What is he going to do? Liksom Kosem. He's going to, I don't have a good translation, Liksom Kosem, he's going to divine. going to do some type of black magic to determine according to the Mazalos. Kaisem Kisamim, divination. He's going to do some type of simon to determine which way he should go. And here the pasuk explains there are many different forms of kisamim. Liksam kosem, then it says kilkal bachitzim, which is subject to many interpretations. Right now we'll just translate it mean to shoot arrows. Kilkal can mean to shoot roive kashos, to shoot an arrow, like we learned by the Chum of the Bayesheni. By Nebuzaradan, it was in Nebuzaradan, it was before Nebuzaradan. I remember one of the generals, he was sent by Nebuchadnezzar, should he go, will he succeed? So he shot an arrow, and every direction in which he shot an arrow, the arrow always landed towards Yerushalayim. So he saw Nebuzaradan, so he saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he wants to destroy Yerushalayim, and Nebuzaradan said, why should I be the one Hashem wants to do, he wants me to do his dirty work? I'm not interested. And he left, he ran away, and he was Megayer. So there also he shot arrows, and arrows landed in the direction of Yerushalayim. Some learn over here that's exactly what the pasuk means here as well. Kilkal bachitzim, he shot arrows, and he saw where it landed. Would it land towards Rabbas ben Amon, or would it land towards Yerushalayim? Another interpretation we'll see soon, kilkal bachitzim means he would sharpen the arrow. Now, I don't know what this means. Some type, you take the arrows, they would sharpen it, they would polish it. Kilkal means lashon kolol, to glisten, to shine. Nechoshes kolol, copper that shines, and by using the reflection of the sword or of the arrow, they would determine where they would succeed in battle through the koichos of Toma. How that works, I have no idea. The third technique was shoal batrofim. They would ask a trofim. What are the trofim? Trofim is Yaakov Lavan had trofim, which he would divine the future. And he and Rachel, we know, stole the trophim, and she took them into her tent, and she lied down, and her father, Lavan, came to search for the trophim, and she told her father, Father, I can't get up for you, I'm a nida, I'm not feeling well, so please excuse me why I can't stand up and give you honor. And that was a lie. She only said that he should not discover that she was lying on top of the trophim. What are the trophim? Some said trophim is a dead body, it's a corpse, a mummy, a dead body,
a head
of a dead body. Some say it's a dead body, and you just...
That wouldn't exactly fit under her saddle.
So maybe they shrunk it. They put it in the microwave. They shrunk the corpse to make it small enough that you can take it with you, portable, you can take on the plane. The TSA people won't be able to detect that you're trafficking corpses. Roha ba'kaved, and then fourth technique is to take a liver. Chazal say that the liver, mm-hmm. And now Chazal say the kidneys, right, are what provide counsel.
Klos
yotzos. Now the kidneys, what about the liver? I don't know. So it seems that by animals, maybe by human beings, it's the kidneys, by animals, somehow the liver is very instrumental in providing counsel. And it was a technique of kishuv, koiches atoma, to take the liver of a dead animal and to look at it. It's like you read your palm, and to look at the liver, and it will tell you if you will succeed or not succeed in your future venture. So here there are really four techniques being employed by this pasuk. Liksom kosem, that's number one. Kilkal bachitzim, number three is shol batarofim, number four is roha bakovet. Four techniques employed by Nebuchadnezzar, should he conquer Rabbas b'nei Amon, or should he conquer Yerushalayim? What's the significance? I have no idea. What are these techniques? I have no idea. But that's what it, and even among each one of these things, there's also so much interpretation. What exactly is the deeper meaning behind these different types of koichos of tumah? It's fascinating that today, you see, that we think today people say, unfortunately, they're people are desperate. You'll do anything. You'll do anything to find a solution to your problems. People will go, they'll run all these segulos. There are books about segulos. So you see, by the goyim, it's just as bad.
No, they also.
Yeah.
There, people are always trying to predict
future
events.
It's a big business.
Whether it's by statistics,
who's going to win the election,
if
Trump will be impeached.
The modern version of the arrow is sticking your finger in the air and seeing which way the wind blows. But okay,
I don't know. All of these things is form of kesa. And the Chazal, they talk about this. The Gemara says that if you want to know if you'll be Masich, ask a child, what did you learn today? Tell me your pasuk. Psoklu Psecha. And then what are there other examples? Look, all these simanim we do in Rosh Hashanah, right? Simanim Rosh Hashanah. Simanim is you eat all different types of foods. Why is that not called kesem? It should be a simen by eating this thing. It should be a simen for the next year. Hoshana Rabbah. It says in the Ramah that you're supposed to go out Hoshana Rabbah and see if you can see your shadow in the moon from the moonlight, right? No. If you can see, and if you can't see your shadow, or if it means, I don't remember, there's a technique, if the shadow is double your body, if you can see the shadow of the shadow, the shadow of your shadow, which means the shadow is double the size of your body, if you can do it, it means the person's going to live, he's going to not live out that year, and the chapeis can say, you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do this because we don't know. Oh, so they don't say that. They say it's not darkei homori, but we don't anyway do it. We don't know how it works. Look, what's about the girl hagra? Take the girl hagra to mishnah, the pages, it says seven times. You have a pasuk that tells you what to do, what not to do. So all of these things border on what Nebuchadnezzar did of these four techniques: liksam, kosam, kilkal, bachitzim, shabbat rafim, rabba kaveit. Fine, let's.
But not appealing to kochot.
No, these are all kochot satoma. And we do things supposedly that are not koyches atoma, but really are they not? I mean, it's tamim tia im Hashem Elokecha. Okay, let's see what it says here in the Mitzudos David pasuk chaf vav. The pasuk says ki amad b'tzen alayma adav hazeh bol rames al asher melech bavel amad b'tzeisu mi'artzo yecheskel. You are doing presenting the Jewish people with a visual demonstration of what, a symbolic visual presentation of what Nebuchadnezzar is going to do. He's going to leave his city of Bavel. He's going to stand al Eima HaDerech on the crossroads for a mokem asher yisparsu misham hadrachim eilech ve'eilech hanech shavois levonois el mul hamokem ahu, which take him into different directions on that road where he will go, and what is he going to do? The next words are beroish v'haschalash ne'adrachem hamis porisim liksom kosem. So he's going to do the following four things: hamida sham hay salaman liksom kosem lodas ona yelech v'yatzliach. Which road will he be successful? Left or right? Next, number two. Kilkal bachitzim. Now I told you it means to shoot arrows. He learns it means litesh v'zicheich barzel hachitzim. He would polish and sharpen and polish the iron of the arrow. Ad shohoyah mazhir b'yoyser, until it would glisten. V'horoyah. Okay, this is a technique that the experts know, the magicians know. Yuchal lirois bo kimo bamara. You can look at the arrow as if it was a mirror. The derech bale hakoismim lirois boy v'liksam, and they can look at it and they can tell different things about the future or success, failure, by looking at arrows that have been polished and sharpened to the degree where you can see your reflection in the arrow. Shoal batrafim. The second thing, the third thing he would do would be he would ask batrafim asuyim heima b'tzuras adam. Okay, these are pieces of leather that are made in the tzura of a human being, umagidim asidos al de kishuf, through magic they would tell you the future. The fourth thing he would do was ra'oba kaved mi yesh ki yesh by bihirus be'esh shemoytziim oisoy miguf bal chai. The Mitzudos learns that when you take out a liver out of the body, it shines. It's like a mirror. It's you can see your reflection. V'haroya yuchal liros boy v'derech balei hakesem liksaim bo. It's the way of the kesem too. Liksam to predict the future divine through the liver. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi says, Pasik, we did already the Chavav yesterday. Up to, let's see, Kilkal Bachitzim. Let's start from there. Rashi, in the middle of Pasik Chafein Chavav, in the middle it says, the Dibur Hamaschil, Kilkal Bachitzim, Liet Belat Chitzim. They would produce a shine, produce a light in the shine of the arrow. Now, what does that mean exactly? So Rashi is a little bit more elaborate. You take an arrow that has been polished and has been sharpened, and you throw it into the sky, and the rays of the sun are going to reflect off, and it's going to cast a spark of light in a certain direction. So you just throw up the arrow, a shiny arrow, and the sun, when the sun is shining, and it's going to...
He says more.
The poinemealeha, it turns by itself. means the arrow it's chitzav zusuf from moel lemino le small from ulamakom she point the place where it turns point no hu hagron. Does that mean the arrow itself, or does that mean the shine? I'm suggesting that when it says here liet belat chitzim, liet means the lat means the reflection. It means the shine. I think what it means, you throw it up into the sky, and when the ray of the sun reflects off the arrow, so it depends how the arrow twists in the wind, it's going to cause it to spark, to send a ray of light in a certain direction, and that direction is a sign which way you should go to be successful.
Or it means that you can see which way the arrow goes by virtue of the gleam of the arrow.
Of the, by virtue of what? Of the
gleam.
The shine of the arrow. So you're shooting the arrow.
So the question
I'm coming to address is, what is the precise translation of the word kil kal? The Mitsudos says, inyan letisha, to polish. The zichuch, kimo v'hu loifonim kil kal. Okay, we'll see in a few moments. If you have the Mari Kara, okay, the Mari Kara, I think you have it in your edition.
Yeah, he says,
the tirgim yonison kashes begiraya. What does that mean? Kashes means roive kashos, to shoot. To shoot an arrow. So the word kilkal means to shoot. Doesn't mean to polish the arrow. This is similar. And in fact, over here, I think maybe in the other Mepharshim, they use this pasuk as a reference to what happened to the Bayis Sheni, by Nivu Zar Adan, where he actually shot arrows, and he saw, and the arrows landed in a certain location. So it's a whole different interpretation. According to the Mari Kara, it means to shoot an arrow, and has nothing to do with the rays of the sun sparking or reflecting off the arrow. Okay, in any event, let's see the next words of Rashi. Kilkal b'chitzim chibur menachem im nechoshes kolol. Kilkal means, it means to shine, to glisten, like copper that has been polished to the point where it shines in the light. The imloy panim kilkal, if you have not sharpened the edge, the panim means the edge of the sword. The yesh mashma kilkal, because you sharpen, you are also polishing
it.
And so that's the basic interpretation of the word according to Rashi and the Mitsudos. But the yesh mashma kilkal lishon kilkal, kuma v'chol hag v'os hiskal kalu. So then it means to kilkal bachitzim, so then it would mean to destroy with the arrows. Now, he's not telling us what this means. He's telling us that there's some type of divination that
like
was.
We did the other question, that when you sharpen it, you macalcal.
You macalcal it. You're ruining it. You're diminishing it. You're making it smaller. Okay, he's not explaining what exactly how the technique. He's not explaining the technique of divination if the word kilkal means to damage. Next, v'yesh le'yazim kilkal. That's a French word. You have a.
Which means to shot.
To shoot. Roiveh kashos, and that's what the Targum says, as we quote from the Amari Kara, he quotes the Targum. V'chein tirgim yonesan kilgal b'chitzim, kashes begiriraya. Kashes means to shoot, like a bow and arrow. To shoot, roiveh kashos, to shoot.
Giraim are arrows.
Arrows. Yeah. No, the chitzim are the arrows. But the
word. Not in Aramaic.
Kashes big.
That's what he's translating it. Kilkel bachitzim
means kashes. It means to shoot. To shoot with an arrow. To shoot with an arrow. The chitzim is the gir raya. That's the arrow. And the word kilkal means kashes, which he means to shoot. Okay. So whatever it is, this is some type of technique. Next, Shabbat Rafim selem shemedaber b'mach shifus. It's the image of something, which Rashi said, the Mitzvah says, of a human being, which talks, and it tells you what's the future. V'yesha michuvenesh, there's a precise moment, she'im oseu ba'oseh shah, yesh v'dibor li'oyla. I don't know what that means. I have no clue what this means. There's a precise moment that if you do it,
that if you do the kishuv,
at that moment,
point,
it talks forever.
Yes.
Yesh v'dibor li'oyla. Who knows what this means? There are experts who know how to divine through a liver of an animal. Okay, so let's see quickly the Radak. Radak pasuk chaf, the four techniques. Pasuk chavav ki amal melch bavel al alim derech. Kamoy al. The el means al. Uchamo rabbi v'nikreis aim aderech shadrachim poinus eilach eilecha v'yikolchem ke aim. Vehela kivanos. The crossroad is the mother, and the branches are the children. That's why it's called the Eim Haderech. Liksam kesem, liros biksamav, leizadech yelech, which through kesem, divination, which way to go, imul derech shil yushalayim, or lo isa shil lirabas bnei amayim. Uva amar liksam kesem, bo shem hapoel im hapoul. This is a repetition of the same word, kidehu lechazik hapoula, kabol kulaman, tevayach tevach, you have this ulova hadoim lo shakasu, shakasu, besev michlol. Okay, so you have the repetition of the word is just to bring out the point. The achash amar liksam derech klal. Also, he learns not like what I told you. I told you there are four different types of techniques. He's saying, no, there are only three techniques. There is kilka b'chitzim shabbat rav rabba kaveit, and the word liksam kosem is a catch-all. This is the name of the course. Mm-hmm. You take a course in liksam kosem, and we teach you divination, and we teach you three techniques. When you finish this course, you will be an expert in three techniques. So it's not four like I told you. He's learning there are three, all under the banner of liksam kosem. Perish akesem mahu va'amar kilkal b'chitzim shabbat rafim rabba kaveid v'chol zem ma'ase akesem u'peirush kilkal kemo. What's kilkal? It means to sharpen. V'hu loy fanim, panim means the edge. The edge has not been kilkal, has been sharpened. V'hu shemechadadin u'melatashin, you go and you sharpen and you polish p'nei abarzel achetz, the edge of the tip of the arrow, ad shaviyah bohir mod, until it is, it shines. The royin boy bali akesem, and then the diviners can look at the tip, they can look at their reflection, and they can see things that the ordinary person can't see. Kemo shuroyin boyin hayat, bitziparen libihiwis hatzipar, like you look at your nails, the shine, the fingernails.
Bohen is the thumb.
The bone is the thumb, but it says not the bohen. It means fingernails of the thumb. Bitziparen libihiwis hatziparen. The behira, reason why it's called the bow and yad is because he's saying a chid. The reason why it's called the bow and yad is because that's where the fingernail is, and the fingernail shines when it's polished, when it's in the right, when you have the right conditions. So we call the tip, we call the tip of the thumb or the tip of the finger the bohen. The behirus hatziparin, due to the shine of the nail. The chen rain basayif, you do the same thing on the sword. The chen bamara, or a mirror. The chen rain bakaved. That's the magic. The secret to divination is to look in a mirror. You look in a mirror, and that's where you're able to see things that you're not ordinarily able to see. Avram Avinu, he saw his wife in the mirror for the first time when he was an old man. Ato yadati ki isha yifas mareot. Now I know. And what does it say there? What does it say in Rashi? He accidentally saw her reflection in a pool of water. So he didn't know what his wife looked like until now. You know, it's a famshe pella. You see, Avraham Avinu was such a tzaddik. He didn't look at his wife. It's not. The Torah was given not l'malachi hasharis. What does it mean? It's a pelletic thing. What it means? I once heard Rabbi Ribner. You know who Rabbi Ribner is? He's a very big Talmud Chacham. He lives in Lakewood. He's married to Rav Shneur Kotler's daughter. He's a very big Talmud Chacham.
Gershon
Ribner. No, this is son. This is Gershon?
Gershon is the Talmud
Rav Hood. And who's his son? This is the son of Gershon Ribner's son. Gershon lives in Eretz Yisrael. Gershon Ribner is a Talmud Rav Hood. He lives now in Eretz Yisrael. He has a son. I forgot his name. He lives in Lakewood. He's a very big Talmud Chacham. He's married to the daughter of Shneur Kotler. And he's a very big, one of the biggest Balei Machshava around today. It's a tremendous, tremendous koyach of drush, agada, unbelievable chidushim. So I once heard him give a shir on this topic. What in the world does it mean that Avraham Avinu, for the first time, saw what Sarah looked like in the reflection of a pond of water?
Because he never looked at it.
So he asked Akasha. So he said he basically made litzonis of that. Well, he never looked. He was mamash. He never looked at it. He was like it's not. It doesn't make sense. It can't be. What does it mean? So basically, what he basically said was, when you see a person alive, they didn't have in those days pictures. There's no pictures. So when you see a person, what do you really? You see the person in motion. When you look at a picture, it's a very gashmiistic approach to a person. When you see a person in a picture, it's steady. There's no life. Many times you look at yourself in the picture, that's what I look like? You're disgusted, right? Everyone always, when it comes to a wedding, everyone always thinks they're the one who looks the worst. Everyone else, oh, you look good, you look good, you look good. When they look, they can't even stomach to look at themselves. The only time they can look at themselves, maybe 20 years later, you can look back at a picture, what you look like. But
then you look good.
Oh, I look good. But v'shas ma'isa, why? Because you don't perceive yourself as static, as stationary. You see yourself always in motion, always in life. When you see
a
hoylich, exactly. When you see a picture, you see an oimed, and it's a very frightening thing. It's a very frightening thing. Avraham Avinu never looked at his wife as an oimed. A goy looks at a person as an oimed. A goy has no hasagis of v'nasati l'cha mahalchen bein ha'oimdim ha'ele. So Avraham Avinu, he was Isaac his whole life at Chesed with Avraham Megayres Anoshim, Son Megayres Anoshim, the Holchim. Now they come to Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, it's the Erva Sa'aretz. A woman is an object. A woman is an Oimed. A woman is only viewed as a picture, as an object. Hashem brought about Hashkocha Pratis. Avraham should see a picture of his wife. How do you see a picture of your wife? He saw her reflection in the pool of water, like a picture. He saw her the same way an Egyptian would look at her directly. For Avram to look at his wife directly, he would not see her as an oimed. He sees the Kedusha. But when he sees her in a reflection, then he sees her the same way the Egyptians see her as... Oh, now I have to be afraid. He knows what his wife looks like, but he knows his wife looks like as a mahalik. As a mahalich, someone who's in motion, not as a one who's an object. The Egyptians don't have that koyach of re'iyah. The Mela, it's now the time to worry about your yoifi. Okay, so going over here, I'm just pointing that out. A point over here is, it's a very powerful idea. You know, he elaborated upon this. I just told you the Rosh HaProkim, I didn't even do the mashu of justice, but it's a very powerful idea. The reason why I'm telling you this is because, look what's going on over here in this Radak. The Radak over here is telling us that the common denominator of Kesem is all looking in a mirror. It's all looking at a reflection. You're looking at things as an oimate. When you look at something in motion, there is life to it. When you look at something stationary, you're looking at it in a very gashmiistic way.
It could be just the opposite. The guy who has no idea,
yeah,
is when he looks at a living person,
yeah,
it's a picture. When he looks at a picture through Kesem, he tells you what is behind it. Punkt verkehrt.
I don't understand.
The opposite of what he needs.
Right. When you look at a reflection, you're looking at something as an oimate in a gashmiistic way. That is kesem. The world is a place of kedusha. When you strip the kedusha out of this world, you're making it into everything is the mazolois, what's going to be the mazolois and the koyachas of tumah. By looking at the mirror, it's similar, just like Avraham Avinu when he came to the Ervas Aretz, he saw Sarah in a mirror. And that was something he had to take into consideration when you're dealing with these Egyptians, which only know from the Erev HaSaaretz. So too, people who are Isaac in Kesem, that's exactly what they are. They are the lowest of the low. They strip the Kedusha out of the law of life, and it's not everything in this life is just a picture. It's just...
What I'm saying, just like a Yid, the Yid, what we were saying, looks at the Kedusha,
yes,
of a person and a living person.
Yes.
The guy looks at that living person as an object.
Right, exactly.
But when he's looking at a picture,
yes,
it becomes the other way, the way the Yid looks at a living person.
Why? Why is that? I don't understand that. It doesn't make... I don't understand that. I don't understand that.
Because
I'll have to talk about that later on.
The Yid.
I don't understand that, but the mitzvah of looking at a reflection, you're minimizing. We have to talk about it later on. I just
Why
want to point out to you.
Look at the mirror.
What?
Why does he have to look at the mirror? He can just go and look
because
at.
Because you look at a mirror, you're reducing. You're not looking at life. You're looking at a still shot. You're looking at some. You're taking the koyach of chayim out of life. You're looking at everything in just in terms of paper. You're looking at it in a very mundane way.
Okay. The kishuf was always done through
mirrors
and through a dead
body. Death. Dead, so you're taking out life.
In Chayver Chavar, okay. It says over there that they took a bone.
Right, dead. You communicate. Well, that's to communicate with the dead. You communicate with the dead what's going to be in the future. But we see here in these sukkim a new dimension of kesem is through the koyach of a mirror. You don't look at life for real. You look at a still shot of life, and that gives you an opportunity to see things in a way that are not with the world of kedusha. I know that Derech Agav, just to prove this point, is that, I don't know if you realize that today, the new technology, today we've grown up in a generation of pictures. Everything is pictures. You know, my mother used to complain that she has no pictures anymore because everything now is electronic. Everyone, they send everyone the cell phone. So, you know, no one has an album anymore. And all of these pictures are stored somewhere in the cloud where you don't even know where they are. You have a billion pictures. You have so many pictures stored somewhere in some... You don't even know. You only have one picture when everything is set. And you want to go look at it, what a person looked like, or your grandchildren from 2 years ago. I don't know where to find it. It's all gone. It's all somewhere in there. But we grew up in a generation of pictures, physical pictures. Today, the new technology, if you realize, is becoming very, very popular on the new smartphones, is every picture... is a mini video. Every picture today on the new smartphones, the option is really, it's like a 1 second video. So when you see a person, the picture, it's not just a picture, you see them moving. When you take a picture, I'm not just taking a picture of you, I'm taking a 1 second or a half a second video of you. So there's movement. And when there's movement, that creates a whole new life to it. It creates a whole chiyus. It's very fascinating because it's exactly what when you're talking about Avraham, he saw his wife in a mirror. He saw the world is now trying to go in the way, the technology of the world is trying to acknowledge the still shot is dead. When you let the picture be a picture that's a mini video of a half a second, it creates chiyus, and that's a whole new dimension to looking at a person. Let's go to finish up the Radak. The Radak says here, Omar, in the middle of the Radak, over here says, Kilkal Bachitzim Shabbat Rafim Rabba Kobeid, Vichozim Masah Kesim, Perish Kilkal Kamavu, Poloifan Kilkal, Fushim Mechadidin, Umi Latishin, Pene Barzal Hachetz, Achiyeh, Bohir Moid, Vereno, Bobale Kesim, Kamoshiroim, Beboyin Hayar, if this ready, let's go further, go further down, Bekobeid, Sheshba Behirus, Utrafim Him Salamim Yerubuchem Hasidis, Uvishloishes, Mine Kesim Eile, through these three techniques, Roho Nebuchadnezzar im Yelech li Yerushalayim shoyse letzad yiminoi, oy l'rabas b'nei Amoy shoyse letzad smolo, v'nofa loy hakesem li Yerushalayim, period. And the kesem fell on Yerushalayim. We're going to see soon that he did this 49 times. 7 times 7, and each of the 49 times it was determined that he should go to Yerushalayim. V'adoyini avi zal kosav kilkal inin kalus, Kolaimar, swiftness, Yoro Hachitzim. Ah, so that's the Makar. The reason why Kilkal is to shoot. Where does the word Kilkal turn into the word Yoyre? When you shoot, it goes very quickly. Kal. So Kilkal Bachitzim, you cause the arrow to move swiftly. How do you cause it to move swiftly? Through shooting it. Kilkal in the Kalus, Kolaimar, Yoro. Hachitzim v'hifricham, he shot the arrow, caused them to fly. Bo'avir liros la'izet sad yiplu, where they will fall. V'chentikim yonasan kashes begir ra'yah, he shot the arrows. Okay, pasuk chav zayin, elaborating upon what he should do. Biminoi, on the right side, hoya kesem yushlai. It's mamish, this week's parasha. This week's parasha is the shnei hasidim. Right, this week's parashas Achrei Mos. You have the two Hasidim. You have La Hashem and La Zazel. So, and it was a lottery. Who won the lottery? It was always the same. It was always La Hashem. It was fixed. Hashem always came out on the right, and La Zazel always came out on the left. And if it did not happen like that, it was bad news. Okay, it was a big, big tzara. So it was predetermined. The right is kedusha. La Hashem should be the kedusha, and La Zazel, the koyach of tuma, is the left. Oh, but everything has to be fair and square. How could the statistically speaking, how could it always come out every single year? It always came out the same way. Goes to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is calling the shots. Biminoi on the right. Hoya kesem.
Well, that's here too. You figure out statistically. So,
do something 49 times and it always points in the same direction.
There's something wrong.
The probability of that happening is
zero.
It's almost
impossible. But it goes to show that it's kesem. It goes to show that this is a kleichas of tumah that are causing it to happen this way. In Kedusha, it's the same thing. B'minoi hoya hakesem yushalayim, losum kodim liftoyach, losum kodim, period. Karim means different interpretations. Karim means bulls. Karim is like podim. Make believe the chaf and the pay are interchangeable, and this means the iron rams. Iron, they made what they call bull. There's a word for it in it. Bull, what?
With the horns, you know.
Right, they had
the walls.
They make things out of iron that resemble oxen, which have horns, iron horns, which they crash into a wall to cause it to collapse. Battering rams, exactly. Battering rams. Karim, period. Liftoyach peh beretzach, to open up his mouth with threats of death. Okay, that's the second expression. He opens up, in other words, terrorism. Okay, terror, to open up your mouth beretzach. You know, like you have to, like in the that Russia from the president of Iran, he's no longer the president. Ahmadinejad. He's always saying, "I'm going to wipe off Israel off the face of the map." Right? This way, liftoyach pe beretzach, to open up their mouth with statements of retzach, of murder. Laharim kol betrua. Nebuchadnezzar was the one who started that. Laharim kol betrua, to raise forth a siren. The battle cry, they would blow the shofar, the truah, in order to assemble the troops. Losum korim al sharim. Now here we have repetition. To set the battering rams against the gates of the city, to break them open. Lishpoich sadala, to pour earth, to pour a ramp, in order to ascend, to come, to overcome the wall. They would build these massive ramps. The wall can be 100 amas tall. You just spend a couple of days and making piling earth in order to make a ramp to overcome the wall. Livnos doyek, to build a tower. A doyek was some type of tower they would construct so they can shoot arrows or shoot missiles from that location over the wall. So all of these things over here, there are many things being done over here in this pasuk, describing what's going to happen at the time of the Churban by Yisrael and Mitzvah, the stuff of pasuk of Zion. B'minoi hoyel hakesem Yerushalayim, hakesem hoyel magid leleches b'minoi el Yerushalayim, losum karim lahamid elim minakhim, the battering rams, mul hachoymois, opposite the walls of the city, l'shavram ulechatesam, to shatter the walls of the city. Sledgehammers, liftoyach peh beretzach, Lizores Esa'am. So he learns over here, it means that to encourage, Nebuchadnezzar would give speeches. He was an orator. He would give these rallies, and he would talk madness, like Hitler and Machshemo, to get the people all worked up. Lizores Esa'am, Sheyirtzichu Esbenei Ho'ir. To rally the people to murder the inhabitants of the city. Lahadim called Bitruah Lahavil Esa'am, to shout, to blow trumpets in order to terrorize the people of the city. Al Sharim Lashabir Hashem, then he would then send the battering rams against the gates. Lishbaichem in Yoni Milchamo, different techniques that are used in war in order to overcome, to penetrate the city. Let's see Rashi Pasukhov Zayin. Pasuk of Zayin, B'minoi hoya hakesem liyushalayim, al garolos kasmu lo liyushalayim, on the right side. On the right side was the kesem, if we should go to Yerushalayim, losum kadim shiltoinim mimunim al rashe gayasas. So he has a new interpretation. Not like the mitzvah Savid, here the word kadim is synonymous with the word sorim. Instead of having the chav turn into a pay, a par, have it turn into a sin. Whenever do you do that, I'm not familiar with such a technique of exchanging a sin with a chaf, but that's what it says here. It means sorim, to appoint officers. He gave everyone a promotion before they went out to war. Everyone got a promotion in their status in order that they should be happy and do a good job. Shultoinim mumunim al roshei gayosos, over the army. Losum karim al shorim ata yuvi gayosh shalachos shev al shar ploini. And when it says it the second time of the pasuk, the repetition, the same exact thing, he told each officer, each general, exactly where they should position themselves. Lishbaich sedala shayfchim afar, they would pour earth, the sedalim v'tsayvim tel gavoya, and they would make a path. A salu means to pave a road. They would pave a path through making this ramp, atel gavoa v'koivshin oisa, they would pave it. Ke'ein she'koivshim tilei hamigdolim, like you would pave the mountains of the towers, to stand upon it and to go to war against it. So they would build these massive ramps and they would pave it so the soldiers can stand firmly upon these ramps and shoot missiles and plan their attack against the city. Radak pasik chav zayin bibinoy mevor hu bepasik shel milo. This is simple, self understood. Lasum karim nigidim. So he learns exactly like Rashi. The word karim does not mean battering rams. It means princes, officers, sarei chayalos, generals, officers of the soldiers. V'chaim v'simul lecha karim. At the end of the pasuk, the adoni of Yizal perish. No, like the mitsudois karim kivosim. Sheep, kimo, it means like a sheep, animals that battering rams, like we mentioned, kimo im chelif karim ve'elim v'ushoisim ele barzel, they make rams of iron, battering rams lenageach achayma, battering rams to knock against the wall of teich above beretzach sheyiftach boy nevuchanetzar piv, he opened up his mouth v'chin sorei hachayil beretzach l'om kolaymar sheyir tzichu kol hanim saboir. Nebuchadnezzar and his officers, they would rally the people and tell them, kill everyone. Psychological warfare. Lasum kodim al shorim, kisheyisgiru ansheir hasharim, when the people would lock themselves in by closing the gates, sheyasimu kodim alayhem lishavram ulikones b'chem, they would use these battering rams to break open the gates. L'chol echa min ha-perushim shepirashnu, or they would assign an officer, a general, to use his army to break open the gate. Shepirashnu l'chol echa min ha-perushim shepirashnu b'milas kodim l'fi inyono. Lishbaich soililah kitarguma limitzbar mil nilesei to pour a ram v'hu shetzayrim offer neged achayma va'isim tel gavoa min achayma lilachim misham ulikanes v'ir v'limustayeku migdalets. They would build a tower. From the tower, they can spy. They can see what's doing inside the city, and they can also shoot missiles. Who migdalets shoisim neged ha'ir likavsha to conquer the city. Okay, next pasuk chavches v'haya lohem. Now here is. Going back to, there are many interpretations of this pasuk. Let's one do one at a time. V'hayulam kiksam shav be'enehem. It was in their eyes sheker, false. It was the result of the divination. It provided a false result. Now, who's saying this? So let's one interpretation. It means the Bnei Yisrael, the people in Yehuda who heard in the newspapers that the result of the Kesem was that they should attack Yerushalayim, were convinced they're making a big mistake. The Kesem is not working today. The Kesem, the system is down. The computer system is not working because they're fools. They think they're going to come to Yerushalayim and conquer and they're going to succeed. Is that what the magic tells them? They're in for a big surprise. When they get near us, we'll blow them up to smithereens. They're making a big fool. So it was to them. Who is Lohem? To Klal Yisrael. Kiksam, the Kesem that told Nebuchadnezzar to attack Yerushalayim, shav beinayim. It was false in their eyes. It's nonsense. You're making a foolish mistake by trying to attack us. You know why? Because our false prophets have sworn to us that we are impenetrable. We are secure. We will be safe. Shivu'e shivu'os. Multiple oaths. Oath upon an oath. Lohem was given to them, v'hu maskir avon lihi ta face, and in this interpretation, who is the maskir avon? It means that this was by this. I'm just guessing now. We'll see in more detail in a moment. The nevi'e sheker by making a false oath to the people that nothing will happen to them was considered to be a very great sin, and this sin contributed to the fact that the people in Yehuda would be captured, would be seized. Okay, there's a lot going on here. Let's go over the pasuk of Mitzudos. We'll see different interpretations. The first question is, the first variable in this pasuk is, who is the, what does it mean, Lohem? Does it mean Nebuchadnezzar and his army, or is Lohem referring to Klal Yisrael? So the Mitzudos refers to Klal Yisrael. Li Yisrael, it was for them, Beineyam Kiksam Shav, Ritzon Elaymar, Masha Ola Bikisamav, Lalos Lirushalayim, Hoy Beineyam Shav. This, that, the result of the Kesem told them to go to Yerushalayim was a mistake. Kichoshu, because the Bnei Yehuda believe, Shlo Yuchal El Kavsha, they cannot be conquered. Ki'ilu HaKastim Nishmi, now here he learns, according to the Mitzudos, when it says Shivu Eish Shivu Os, the Shivu is not the Nevi'ei Sheker, but it's Ki'ilu HaKastim Nishmi'u Lohem Shivu Os Rabos, Shlo Yichbishu Oysa, it's as if the Kastim swore many oaths that they would not conquer them. It was so clear to Bnei Yehuda that they would not be conquered. It's as if the Babylonians themselves swore to them multiple times that they're not going to touch them. That's how convinced they were. So according to the Mitzvot, when it says Shivu'e Shivu'os refers to the Babylonians, it's as if the Babylonians made a shua to Klal Yisrael, they're not going to harm them. How come then they're marching towards Yerushalayim? I don't know. It's just a bad dream. They're in denial. They're in denial that anything is going. How come the Kesem said they're going to be successful? The Kesem is Shav. Oh, how do I know it's Shav? Because it's as if the Babylonians themselves promised us that they're not going to harm us. V'hu masker avoyin avol kol echa me'anshe Yerushalayim v'hu masker esa avon l'fnei amokoyim v'asoy say pam b'pam. However, each member of Yerushalayim was a sinner. He continued to mention his sins before Hashem by doing averos. It's as if he's mentioning that to Hashem, Hashem, I am a sinner, and I deserve that you should punish me. Liosiba sheyia nitpas biyad oyev, and the doing of averos was a cause that they should be conquered by the enemy. The Mitzudos is very difficult. If you notice, he's really stretching the pasuk. He's really twisting and stretching the pasuk many ways. If we view the whole pasuk again, is that the subject of the pasuk is Klal Yisrael. When they got a report that Nebuchadnezzar has decided to conquer Yerushalayim because the magicians told them this is the way to go, Klal Yisrael were in a state of denial. They were in a state of denial. This is nonsense. It's shav, what the magicians told them. The Babylonians promised us, they swore to us they're not going to harm us. And this attitude, with continuing to do averos, was a mazkir avoin, was a continuous reminder to Hashem that we deserve to be conquered, captured, and destroyed, lihi tofes. That's the gist of the parish of the Mitzvot. Let's see Rashi. Rashi begins like the Mitzvot. Zvoy Elohem li Yisrael, masha osa Nebuchadnezzar. Kiksam Shav. The Lo Yaminu Sheatzliach. Same thing as the Mitzvot. They did not believe for one moment that he would be successful. Ach be'emes. The truth is, here's where Rashi differs from the Mitzvot. Shavu'ei Shavu'os Lohem. A novel translation. Doesn't mean an oath. It means 7 times 7. They were counting Sfira. You think only we count Sfira. Nebuchadnezzar counted Sfira for 49 days. He did the same magic trick 49 days in a row. And every day in his sphere it said, you're going to succeed. You're going to succeed by conquering Arboim, V'seisha pa'amim, Kosam, Lohem, V'duchanetzav, V'chol ha'kesamim, Kivnu, Kzeh, Kozeh. Every time he did this, it came out exactly the same. Who else did something like this? Haman. Haman also, he went and he did the Garolos, doesn't say he did it 49 times, a different interpretation exactly what he did, the Garolos, but also the Garolos told Haman that he will succeed in carrying out his plan. Why the number 49? 49 represents the Shlemus of Gashmias. 7 is Teva, is nature. 7 times 7 is nature on steroids, Teva. 8 represents Lamal L'Mederech HaTeva, according to the rules of nature of Kesem. Kesem touches upon the gashmius of this world, the denial that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. Shavuos is after 49 times 49. You count 50 days, you conquer, you go through the gashmius, and then you come out on top of the guy. You basically, the truth, you're rejecting. After all is said and done, going 7 times 7, we're now at Shavuos, Matan Torah is 50. Torah is Lamala of Teva. Koyach of Torah can take us beyond Teva. Kesem, you don't go to 50. Kesem is the peak, is at 49. next words of Rashi. Now, what does it mean? This really fits very well. Rashi is much more fitting than the Metzudas in this respect. This is the subject, according to Rashi, is Nevuchadnetzar. Nevuchadnetzar would continuously remind Hashem of the sins of Klal Yisrael. How did he know that they were sinning? He had spies. He had spies in Klal Yisrael, and they came back and they reported to the Nevuchadnetzar, you'll succeed because they're secretly worshipping Avodah Zarah. They're involved in Gilei Raos, Avodah Zarah, Shfichas Damim. They have no respect for the leaders, for Hul and Hul. The Gemara lists 11 Averos. And when they told this to the Nebuchadnezzar, so he would mention this to Hashem in his prayers, Hashem, I have to be successful because your people, they're not deserving, they are sinners. V'hu maskirav, Nebuchadnezzar. The Nebuchadnezzar was the one, b'kosmoy eskisamov hoya maskirav, onis shebiyad Yisrael, shohayu moidim loy. How did he know this? Spies. Who were his spies? Amoin. Amoin umoyav shebenehem. There was some businessmen. I have two gear saws. In fact, I have two gear saws. In my edition, I have in the main gear saw shebenehem, and then I have in the brackets nusach acher shechenehem. Shayushaimim es toichachais hanavim. They heard the musar of the nevim, and they saw that the people did not react. Lehi tafes shayishol nit pasim biyado. So therefore, we have over here a new interpretation according to Rashi, that the Jewish people viewed the kesem that told the Nebuchadnezzar he would be successful was shav, but the truth is, it wasn't shav. The Nebuchadnezzar, it was proven, shivu'ei shivu'os lohem. It was done 49 times, 7 times 7, and the result was he would succeed. And in addition, the Nebuchadnezzar would remind Hashem of the sins of the Jewish people, and he knew this through the spies of Avon Amoyav. And that's why he told Hashem, I demand that I should be successful. He taught pace in this, that the Jewish people will be seized in my hands. Radak, Pasuk Chav Ches, V'hayilachem b'kiksam shav. Be'enehem, kiksam ksiv, there's a kri v'ksiv. What's the kri? There's an extra vav. The vav, kri b'loi vav, v'kamat z'chotav. V'hu makar? Okay, this is the infinitive verb, right? Is that what you told me yesterday? The infinitive verb. V'omar, ki be'enei Yisrael, hoya kesem, v'nuvuchanetzar, k'mo im hoya kesem, shav. Same thing as Rashi and the Mitzudas. So here's what I told you. When I told you that I translated the Pasuk originally, I told you what the Radak says, is that Nevi Sheker, in my mind, it's all mixed up. So Nevi Sheker, they made oaths, they made shavuos to the Jewish people, Al Divrei Nevi HaSheker, Shoyu Maftichim Oysam Al Sheker, Shelo, he said, I made a mistake, Shelo, Shavuos, Ki Ilu Hoya Kastim, Shivuei Shivuos Lohem, Klamaki Ilu Nishbu Lohem Shivuos Rabos. It's as if the Babylonians swore, I'm sorry, this is like the Mitzudos, the Nevi'e Sheker promised nothing's going to happen because of the promise of Nevi'e Sheker, the people were in a state of denial to the degree where it was as if they believed in their mind that the Babylonians swore to them that they would not harm them. For who mask avon li tafes? Zadavahoya mask lachem avon sheitafsu bo ki ukine, sitkiyohu malkom leshamar shivu asa lemelech bavel. This was, now he's getting into more detail, this specific thing was the sin of sitkiyohu. He did not keep his promise to Nebuchadnezzar, kumo shamar, vagam nebuchadnezzar, mor asher hishpia beelokim, vech yachshavu sheyishmu lachem hakasim shivu asan. Even if they would have sworn to them, a curse will come upon the land. So it's an amazing interpretation from the Radak. Radak here is saying is, even if it was true that the Babylonians took a shavua that they would not harm the Jewish people, they would not be obligated to keep their oath. Why? Because Tzidkiyahu did not keep his oath. Tzidkiyahu, tit for tat, Tzidkiyahu made a shvua that he would not rebel against Nebuchadnezzar. He also made a shvua he would not tell the world that Nebuchadnezzar is a barbarian. He eats living animals, Evim and Achai. He violated both of those oaths. He told the world that Nebuchadnezzar eats live animals, and he rebelled, he refused to pay taxes to Nebuchadnezzar. So Tzidkiyo did not keep his Shavua. Memela, the Shavu'ei Shavuos of the Babylonians, even though there were no Shavuos, but even if there were Shavuos, there would be no need for them to honor that oath, because we did not honor our oath, and that's why it's Mazkir Avayin. That's why the violation of his oath he's calling is a reason why the oaths are meaningless, lihita face, that they would need would be seized. The next words of Radakar, Shivu'ei im Toimar, Beshekel HaShechunei V'Holeyam, okay, this is a certain type of form of the word, V'Adoni Yavizal Perush, Im Toimar, Kiksam Shav. Now we go new interpretation. Now we have a new interpretation from the father of the Radak. And he learns that the subject of the word Lohem is not Klal Yisrael, but instead the subject of the word Lohem is the Babylonians. When the Babylonians divined and the results came back that they should go to Yerushalayim, they were in a state of disbelief. What? The Hashem wants us to conquer Yerushalayim? It was shocked. Really? Hashem really wants this? They really wanted to go and conquer Ammon. The Hakel Yisparach Mishacham LiYerushalayim, Hashem brought them, drew them to Yerushalayim. Bavur Shloihim Din Alchil Hashem Shechil Tzidkiyahu, because Hashem did not tolerate the violation of the oath of Tzidkiyahu. Vehuzel Shivuot Shivuos Lohem Buhumaskir Avon Litafes Hiskir Avonoseim HaAchirim. Because he mentioned their other sins. Now he's not translating. I don't know really what he means, but he means over here some degree is that, because Shavuot Shavuos Lohem, it seems to say, is because the reason why Hashem went and inspired them to conquer is because of the Shavua that was violated by Tzidkiyahu.
Because of Tzidkiyahu, they all didn't have to suffer.
Lev Melech, the Lev of the Melech represents the people. That his violation really came, was rooted in the corruptness of the Jewish people.
Well, maybe that was a rationalization for the Babel, that's the reason the family would be good enough. But not the real reason.
Okay, there are many reasons. There are many dimensions, many reasons that come together. But the way the Radak's father seems to learn is that Shavui Shavu'os Lohem, it was upon them. It was an outstanding debt against the Jewish people, the oaths that their king took towards Nebuchadnezzar that were violated, which created a chilul Hashem. And Hashem says, this is a mazkir avayin. This is a terrible sin to be mechal l'shem shamayim. And if I have no choice but lihi tafes, to allow you to be conquered. That is his interpretation. Then he goes, Yerushalayim tirgim v'avolochon kis mehoin. Okay, the Yonason has, I'm not sure what he says, we'll leave his parish for another time. Chavtes. Let's go to one more pasuk, another minute, one more pasuk. Pasuk, Chavtes, V'Kayim Hashem Elokim. Yana, Haskartem Avoinchem, because your sins have been mentioned. Bigolois Pish Eichem. We have over here a lot of repetition, multiple repetition. Your sins have been mentioned. Bigolois Pish Eichem. Your Pesha has been exposed. Your chait has been seen. Bechol aliloi seichem, due to all of your actions. Yan, therefore, his karchem, his hizocherchem, because they have been mentioned. Bakaf tito fesu, you will be seized by the hand of the Nebuchadnezzar. So notice, before we get to the second end of the pasuk, this is a very interesting ending, because we always say in davening, this is a great pasuk, because we always say in davening is chet avanu pesha. We have those three things here taught us in this pasuk. In fact, I tell you many times, if you go to the mikvah, especially Erev Yom Kippur, it's brought that in Mishnah Bruda, you're supposed to dip three times in the mikvah, Erev Yom Kippur. When you go on Yom Kippur, it's a bal tshuva. When you go to mikvah on Erev Shabbos, that's Tosefes Kedusha, or people go for Keri, Takanas Ezra. But Erev Yom Kippur, you go Midina Baal Teshuvah. There's an inyan of going to mikvah. When a person does teshuvah for a chet, you have to go to mikvah to be mechaper, part of the process of doing teshuvah. So Menela, you're supposed to dip in the mikvah three times. One for the chatoim, one for the avonos, and one for the peshoim. And we say in davening, Chet Pesha, what is the difference? So Chet, we always say, is inadvertent, is by accident. A Pesha, is done b'mezid. I did it b'mezid. Ovon is lahachis. Pesha means I just can't control myself. I know that McDonald's does not have a hechsher. I'm very well aware. I'm well aware it doesn't have a hechsher, but listen, I'm hungry. I'm hungry, and it's a drive-through, so no one's watching me anyway. So you can just drive through and pick up something to eat on the way home. I know it's wrong. It's not an accident, but I'm not doing it lahachis. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. And then there is ovoin. Ovoin is lahachis. There are chatan that a person does, doesn't realize he's doing it lahachis. So what's so unique about this pasuk is the adjective. Is that the right word for this? Chet ovoin to describe the three. When it comes to the ovoin, it's haskarchem. It's the ovoin that's done lahachis has been mentioned before Hashem. When it comes to the pesha, it's not been mentioned. It's on videotape. Okay, it's bihigolois. Not a shavinite. Bihigolois means it's been revealed. It's in print. It's in print. And the chait is leheiraos, is videotape. Different ways, different forms of media to describe the different types of sins. Isn't that interesting? The inadvertent sin, you were caught. Wait, I didn't do it. I didn't do an avera. Here's the video. Here's the video. I didn't do a pesha. It's been nigla. It's been revealed. How has been nigla? I have a recording. Okay, I have a higolois. I don't know. Higolois is a different term. It's been revealed. It's been revealed. Let's check. Check the records. Let's check the bank records. Let's check your
fact checkers.
Your fact checkers. Fact. And haskarchan means to be reminded. A zecher. A zecher is a different expression. It's very interesting. Three different expressions here being used to describe the three different types of sins. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll do this again tomorrow.